bring in forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, thanks for moving up. We've had to move things around a little bit this morning, but how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I feel like the Jeffersons moving on up, man. How y'all doing? Y'all doing good?
We're doing fantastic. I want to start with Calvin Ridley, and I know you've talked about this and heard about it, but you know, basically saying that he didn't have the energy, he didn't run full speed.
You're right, right.
I get that it's hot, it's practice. Being in a game is going to be completely different. And there's some people that are like, why are we even talking about this? It's not that big of a deal. Is it a big deal? Is it a concern?
I don't think it's a big deal, and I'm going to tell you why. But there's a video that's kind of floating around where one of the coaches comes up to Calvin Ridley. He's kind of taking the knee after practice. And his coach says this. This is very, very important. He said, you know what? I've been around the league for so many years, and you're the hardest working receiver I've ever seen. And the thing about it is we got to understand it. We're human. We get tired. We get fatigued. We get mental fatigue because when you're going through the grind each and every day, you're running routes. You're running the routes consistently. You know, you're getting pressed at the line of scrimmage. You're always in meetings. You're doing the same thing. Some days you just get tired. And we got to understand sometimes that we're human beings also. We get tired. We get fatigued. We get mental fatigue, all these things. So I don't really look at it, you know, as him just, you know, trying to take a day off. It's just sometimes we actually get tired.
Right. And I get all that. But, you know, I guess you can also understand that if he says it and then the head coach is like, it's not that big of a deal. We had to cut practice short. Guys didn't have their legs. Everybody's going to go, wait, what does that mean?
Yeah. I mean, let me explain it. When they say they don't have your legs, it's where your legs are so heavy. Just imagine, they've been practicing for 2.5 months before they had OTA, they had camp, they have this. We got to understand, I know camp is not as hard as it was in 1995 when I played, but it's still grueling. Just imagine, you know, me playing in the NFL again. I'm running routes. I'm running about maybe 50 or 60 routes of practice. I'm catching the ball. I'm catching the jugs. I'm sitting in meeting rooms. My day starts at 7 in the morning. I'm in meetings. I go to special teams meetings. I got to talk to the coach. I got to talk to media. So sometimes you just really get tired. Listen, I'm not making an excuse because I love to work hard, but there were some days where I was just mentally fatigued. I was just mentally tired of just not just of football, but just the grind of football. And I just that people sometimes just got to understand because here's the deal. Here's the deal, Chase. If this was a pattern of him doing that to where the first day he came in and he was kind of loafing around and jogging and not doing the right thing, I'd be like, okay, that's a concern. But one day, I don't get it.
Chris Sanders is with us, Forever Titans wide receiver. And Brian Callahan said that the starters are not going to play in this preseason game. Malik Willis is going to get the start. He said that as well. So what is your role, Chris? You're a starter. You're not going to play. What are you going to be doing during that game?
I think what I would do is I'll be coaching up the younger guys, and I know that sounds kind of cliche, but, you know, I don't want to be that veteran just kind of sitting on the sidelines having sunflower seed and just kind of just, you know, whatever. I would kind of be engaged, you know, just like a guy used to play on a team like Justin McCarron's. Like when I would be out there starting, he'll come in, I would kind of coach him up and just kind of help him with some things. So as a veteran player and as a leader, I'm not just going to sit on the sidelines and be like, okay, well, I'm just going to chill and nothing else. I'm going to be engaged in the game. I'm going to be talking to the young receivers if they have any questions, just to help him, help those young guys be successful, you know, on the field.
We're talking to our good friend, Chris Sanders.
Yeah,
Chris, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, man? You doing all right?
We're plowing through this. Hey, let me ask you this.
Sure.
When you played, did you ever read the paper about you or did you not do that?
I tried not to because, you know, we have that attitude. We kind of like, I ain't reading the paper. Then all of a sudden you look at the paper, and then all of a sudden you turn on your radio and you're trying to listen to Conway Twitty or something. And then also you turn into the sports station, and then you hear people talking about you. And the one thing that I had to do is I had to really be careful because sometimes we as athletes, when we hear something negative about ourselves, sometimes we get sensitive and get emotional and be like, man, how dare they talk about me? So I had to be careful because in 1998, you know the situation I talk about sometimes, that to where I let my emotions get to me to where I heard somebody say something in the paper about me and I got upset. And as a professional, I can't do that. I mean, everybody has their opinion. Everybody's going to say things about me or critique me. That's great. So what I had to do is I had to tell my emotions to shut up, but also I had to close the paper and not listen to the radio.
Is it a good thing there was not Twitter and Facebook back when you played?
Oh, my gosh. They even put me on MySpace. I mean, it was that close. I mean, I was almost on MySpace. But the thing about it is, if they would have had it back then, I mean, it would have been even worse because, you know, anybody can say anything and anybody can do what they want to do and hide behind their comments. So I'm glad I didn't have it back then because I probably would have got even madder.
That's why I was curious. If you could talk to, you know, Will Levis, some of these rookies about what you read in the paper, I mean, would you tell them to read it and take it with a grain of salt? I mean, or just how would you approach that with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you want – to, I mean, we as human beings, we want to please everybody. We want to make everybody, you know, happy about our performance. But we got to understand that everybody's not going to be happy about your performance. I'm going to give you a perfect example. My first year when I came in 1995, I was balling. I was doing great. I was, you know, leading the league in average per catch, and I was the talk of the town. Then the next year, we played at Kansas City in the first game, and I dropped one or two balls, and now everybody's booing me and telling me how bad I am. So I had to understand that I had to put it in perspective. Say, you know what? They're going to say some bad stuff. They love you when you do good. They hate you when you do bad. So as a young guy, this is the one thing you have to do is you have to take your emotions out of it. You got to tell your emotions to shut up because your emotions are going to lie to you. Your emotions are going to say, they don't like me. How dare they say this? You got to say, you know what? My job is to gain the respect of my players, and that's exactly what you got to do.
I've covered enough training camps to know that if somebody's got a bad camp, it doesn't matter. If they got a great camp, it doesn't matter. And Chase and I were talking a few weeks ago about Brock Purdy, the 49ers camp. They're like, oh, he's missing all these receivers and this and that. And they asked him, he said, hey, I'm pushing the limits here in training camp that I can't push in a game. And I want to see what I can do, what I can't do. You like that kind of attitude, Chris, if it applies to like a Will Levis, like, I know I'm not going to do this in a game, but I want to see how I can do this in practice, how I can push the boundaries right now when it doesn't really matter.
No, but see, that's a wild statement because the thing about it is in practice you create habits, and I think that if you create the right habit in practice, you're going to create in the game. I mean, I know what Brock Purdy's saying, but at the end of the day, you don't want to have that attitude, oh, man, I just do it in the game. I'll do what I want to. I just got to say, I got to create this habit now. So now when I get in the game, it's going to be second nature. So, you know, it's just a situation that's kind of different.
Okay, so with that said, Chris Sanders is with us.
Yes, sir.
You know, the report on Levis, I mean, the first play of the two-minute drill yesterday against Seattle, he throws a pick. He had two picks yesterday. You know, he's been very hot and cold. But, you know, we gauge so much on these joint practices. If he's throwing two interceptions, I mean, what's kind of the thought there?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, when you're going against your team, when you're going against 7-on-7 against your team each and every day, you kind of get an idea of what they're going to do on defense and, you know, understand the defensive players. But now you got the Seattle Seahawks that come in. Now it's a whole different energy. It's a whole different speed. And you got to step up in the pocket and throw the ball when somebody's in your face. And if you're throwing two picks, you know, against another team and you're not executing like you're supposed to, it's a little bit cause for concern because, you know, when the game is on the line, when the pressure is on, you know, I expect Will Levis to make the plays. I expect my receivers to make the plays. Don't just do it when it's 7-on-7 and going against your guys. That's great because you're familiar with those guys each and every day. So now you got the Seattle Seahawks coming in. You're not familiar with them. You know, their front is good. Their secondary is pretty good. Now the pressure's on. How are you going to answer the bell when a lot of the pressure's on?
All right, Chris, I want to ask a question. As you being a coach, without naming names, what's the maddest you've ever gotten at one of your receivers?
Are you talking about in high school or?
No, you're coaching since you've been a football coach.
Oh, if I've ever got mad at a coach, I'm at it. Oh yeah, I see.
What's the maddest?
See, there's two things that I kind of won't tolerate, and it takes a lot for me to get mad. It's if you disrespect me, number one, or you're loafing. Those are the only two things I get. Now, if you drop a ball, I'm going to get in your face and just, you know, challenge you to catch the football because at the end of the day, that's still somebody's son. But there's one kid I got mad at one time is, they threw him the ball and I started running to him. And I said, hey, and first thing he said, he was like, what? Okay. I tore my shirt off and turned green. And I had to understand that I know he's a kid, but I got to teach him not to disrespect authority. So once I explain to him, hey, listen, I understand that you're mad that you catch the ball, but we got to settle down and let me coach you. So after that situation, it turned out better as opposed to me getting mad.
Was that Herb Street's son?
Hey, actually, Herb Street's son became a good player his senior year. You know, I mean, he was pretty good wide receiver. You know, there was twins. One was a cornerback and one was a wide receiver. You know, but at the end of the day, I always tell my kids this all the time. I coached the receiver, but I love the kid. And that's what we got to understand. So when I'm yelling at them and I'm screaming at them and I want to pull all their hair out and pull their unibrow out, all that stuff, I had to understand. They understand I love the kid, but I'm coaching the receiver hard. So, you know, and the one thing that me as coaching, the one thing I'll never do is I'll never demean a kid. I'll never call him out of his name. I'll never call him stupid. I'll never call him idiot because guess what? That's still somebody's son. So when I yell at him and scream at him and demand perfection, I'm coaching the wide receiver, but I'm absolutely in love with the kid.
Oh, I love that. It's funny, you know, Chris, when I played, how many times did I mumble under my breath to a coach, I want you to shut up? You know, he never heard it, of course, to do that. But I'm telling you, man, I miss getting yelled at. I miss it. I miss all that because when a coach did not yell at me, ooh, I know he didn't care about me. Ooh. When he yelled at me, I know he cared about me.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing about it is, you know, I love Coach Steckel. Coach Steckel is mild mannered. I think he's a Green Beret or one of the Frogmen or one of those dudes. He never yelled at me, but I had so much respect for him that if he asked me to do something, I'm going to do it. And I always share this story with you all the time. We were playing Buffalo. It's snowing, and Buffalo's going to the playoffs, and we're not going. And I'm just kind of chilling, just trying to get by so I don't get hurt. And I'm going out there, and I'm not blocking. So I run to the sidelines, and you know they say, you know, coach wants to talk to you on the phone. He said this. He said, if you don't block, I'm going to take you out myself. So me loving my coach, me loving him, I said, you know what? I can't be selfish. I'm going to do everything I need to block. Even if it's cold, even if I want to go home, it ain't about me. It's about my coach and the team, and that's what I had to learn.
Amen to that. We always learn something when you're on the show.
I learn from y'all too, man. You guys are awesome men.
Oh, you are too. We appreciate it as always, Chris. Thanks for moving around for us, and we'll talk
next
week.
Appreciate you. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
You too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.